jump up and down, shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the pink and hold down, gotta have a collar you can trust.
Oh, here we go. Right.
Hey, maybe we'll change the theme into perpetuity.
Pigpen time, Danny.
So I got saddled with the task. Thanks, Corby, by the way.
Saddled? Yeah. Honored, you mean?
Of having to watch Top Gun for the first time in my life, because I guess it's its 35th year anniversary.
35 years ago, I believe, Tuesday.
And
it was released.
And Top Gun Part 2 is coming out this year?
Top Gun Maverick will be out either in the summer or the fall. It may be up for awards, so they may save it for like November awards season.
Okay. So this film came out in 1986, the year I graduated high school. And
how did you avoid this?
I've heard the references. I know all the music from it, but I never, ever sat down and watched this film from start to finish. I'm sure it's been on cable where I've seen it and, you know, been changing channels back when you used to do that. And
yeah.
I'd see it and I knew what it was and I had no interest. I just had zero interest in Top Gun because it just seemed so silly to me because everybody, you know what I think it was? I think it was the nicknames.
The flying nicknames?
Their flying nicknames I thought were just so cheesy. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk about some of the things that I did like about Top Gun.
Okay, we'll start there.
And from the opening credits, when they started playing this, I was like, okay.
It's a pretty cool score.
The score is great because some of the programs that are out now have kind of gone back to that throwback 80s VHS type of scoring where it's all done on early MIDI computers. Like, you would hear, this is something you would hear like in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So I really dug the, I mean, retro now, but at the time probably cutting edge vibe of the score, the music that is played outside of the, you know, Danger Zone and Take My Breath Away and the hits and whatnot. So they kind of had me locked in right here with all the jets on the aircraft carrier.
Heck yes.
All that fun stuff. And they're going through some exercise in the air with the fake MiGs versus our fighter pilots. And Commander Saroy, the guy that looks like one of the Saroy twins, is kind of overseeing this training operation. And
you know what throws me off? You know who that guy is, don't you? That's the guy from Back to the Future. That McFly, the teacher or principal or whatever, and that's the guy that I, because that came out the year before.
Yeah, I didn't connect those dots. But anyway, so they're up there doing their thing, and then I was reminded in this next clip of why I thought this movie that I'd never seen was going to be stupid. Hear this.
Who's up there? Cougar and Merlin and Maverick and Goose? Great. Maverick and Goose.
Cougar, Merlin, Maverick, and Goose.
I bet you they're going to buzz the tower.
And he's like,
great.
Great. And the way he says it, Maverick and Goose. Laughed out loud, knew I had to record that.
Call sign, bro. Had to have call signs. Cool call signs.
I guess you did. So then we segue from that. Yeah, Goose. We segue from that to a cocktail party scene where they're in their dress whites and their naval officers' uniforms. And I'll be damned if 10 of them don't commence to virtually Me Too Kelly McGillis at a bar to the soundtrack of the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like one, the most famous scene in the movie.
Yes.
If it's not...
There's
top
no doubt.
Two or three. If it's not number one, it's two or three. You didn't like that?
That was so ridiculous.
Okay.
And look. Okay, go ahead. No. Okay,
so
what?
So Goose, who...
Anthony Edwards.
Didn't Anthony Edwards lead the charge in that? Like, he's always real upbeat and positive and fun and...
Right off the set of Revenge of the Nerds.
Totally.
I think she's lost that love and feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely that love and feeling.
Come on, Mav. Come on, Mav. And then they all, you know, break into song or whatever. But... I can tell you this. I was 16 when I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was going to die. Because someone had to die because you're doing military aerial stuff, and there's got to be a plot twist where someone's dead.
Yeah.
And
there's got to be stakes.
Right.
We have to know something's on the line.
He was way too happy. He loved his wife way too much. Yeah, and it was Meg Ryan, child. Right?
Yeah, what, it was Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, Goose, I love you. And
she's real
sugar
country.
Teas and blah, blah, shake my ass and, you know, just all that stuff. There was no doubt Goose was dead. And so when he died, I was like, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised when Goose bit it. And the way he died later on in the film when they're... I don't know, Maverick's plane gets in trouble and they have to eject and the canopy won't open all the way and they eject Goose and he breaks his neck on the top of the canopy before he parachutes into the sea.
Pretty badass.
Poor Goose.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Goose. Well, there was some attempts at comedy. Let's play one joke. So this is the most testosterone fueled, ridiculous 80s movie that you could ever imagine.
Did you love Val Kilmer?
We'll get to him in a minute.
Perfect.
We'll get to him in a minute. But here's your prototypical 80s dong joke.
Okay.
Goose, you're such a dickhead. Whose butt did you kiss to get in here? Huh?
Well, the list is long but distinguished.
Yeah, well, so's my Johnson.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the list was long to get in here. Oh, yeah, so's my Johnson.
Long,
hey, brah.
Long and distinguished. Oh, yeah, so's my Johnson.
So, bro.
Yeah, I feel like the 80s really focused on Johnson talk.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to need some assistance on this joke because I think he says one thing that doesn't hold up when you're throwing out an AIDS joke. Uh-oh. In 1986, maybe that's fun and games then, but now what we know about it, it might not be the same thing, but he might be saying something else. You guys help me out.
I told her how tough it is here. You know, my ass dragging like an old tired dog. I told her that you didn't even have a woman here.
Oh, really?
You know what she said? She said, well, he probably doesn't have one. He's got AIDS.
Now, is he saying eight or AIDS?
AIDS.
Yeah, she probably doesn't have a woman. He's probably got AIDS.
He probably doesn't have one. He's got AIDS.
It sounds like AIDS, but it could be. He probably doesn't have one woman.
Yeah,
he's got
maybe
AIDS.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe it is.
There's no way they're making an AIDS joke.
Maybe.
Dude, that's right at the time of, like, Ryan White and all that.
Military guys would never joke about.
No. Neither would radio guys.
No, not at all.
You know, Maverick is the guy that doesn't. He follows his own rules.
Yeah.
Look. Maverick should have been court-martialed 11 times in this movie for disobeying direct orders.
You didn't like when he buzzed the tower upside down and flipped him off and made the coffee spill? And can you imagine that going on?
Thanks for going back to the coffee spill joke 4 times in the film.
I know.
Dadgummit! It happened again.
I was drinking my coffee right when you flew 800 miles an hour, 2 inches from my head.
Yeah. So, yeah, Maverick is obviously, from a military standpoint, this is one of the most unrealistic military films you'll ever see.
The fight scenes are pretty good, especially for 1985, or the MiG scenes, or whatever you want to call
them. I'd like to get on YouTube and find some guy that was in the Navy that would comment on this, on the realism of it, and I guarantee he would say this is garbage.
No. So they got the Navy on board. The Navy was 100% in cahoots with this. And so they were part of all this because at the time
it was one big recruiting commercial.
Exactly. And they knew that. And it was the most successful piece of Navy propaganda.
Okay.
Ever.
That's fine. Propaganda isn't what it's not based on facts.
Yeah, but
when you see these armed forces commercials trying to get you to be recruited, they're doing kick-ass stuff.
I know. But I mean but what I'm saying is all of this was Navy inclusive.
Okay, that's great, because they were using it as propaganda, but not to get all the facts right.
Yeah, no. I mean, there were very little facts.
Well, the volleyball scene.
Yeah, that was true.
All right, obviously, the most famous scene is the erotic volleyball scene where Tom Cruise...
What kind of erotic?
Just erotic. I don't see things that way. Where Tom Cruise is crushing volleyball with no shirt and jeans.
What were they doing in the... what was going on?
And there's slow motion cuts.
I don't remember.
And wiping their brows.
Help me out here. Did they just cut away?
Skin.
Were they like flying jets? And then were they like sitting there looking at each other? And they go, hey, you want to play volleyball?
There's no.
Is there no lead in or anything?
There's no context.
They're just playing volleyball.
Yes. It is a cutaway to about 2 minutes of shirtless man volleyball.
So Quentin Tarantino is very open and outspoken that this film is very homoerotic. And he says that scene in particular is case in point number one.
There's another scene.
It makes no sense. It doesn't belong
at
all.
There's another scene where after Goose gets killed and Tom Cruise is grieving and Tom Skerritt, his, you know, CO or whatever, is in the shower room with him. And as he walks out, he has this lingering stroke across his back. Like, it's going to be okay. So but rather than just a pat, it's just like,
yes.
He kind of strokes his entire...
Dude, Adam Sandler admits that the SNL bit, Schmidt's gay,
right,
is based on the volleyball scene.
I believe it
all comes from that.
So let's bring in Val Kilmer, who didn't really have that big of a part as Iceman.
Bro, Iceman will kill you, right?
No, Iceman was a weenie.
What about the towel scenes where they were always freshly showered?
So many towels. Well, here's an exchange between Iceman and Maverick where, look, we get it. Maverick's a rogue. He's dangerous.
You guys really are cowboys.
What's your problem, Kazowski?
You're everyone's problem.
Yeah.
That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Nice, man. I am dangerous.
Maverick, you and Goose get your butts out of that flight gear and up to Viper's office now.
Take those towels off, boys.
That's right. Let's see some wieners.
Please be shirtless when you get up there.
So Goose dies.
Get up here right now with no towels
and
no shirt.
There's some backstory about Maverick's dad, how he served in Vietnam with Tom Skerritt.
He was the best.
That's right. He was the best. But they weren't able to. Maverick never knew how his dad actually died because it was classified information, because they were flying in a protected zone and did bad things. But he saved a lot of men's lives up there in that sky, and I was one of them, and I'm going to fly with you, Maverick.
Tom Skerritt was awesome.
I like Tom Skerritt. He had a nice mustache, too. So at the end, if we had forgotten, possibly, that Maverick was dangerous, after Maverick knocks out all of the MiGs in real combat on some mission that still is yet to
We don't know what happened.
Sense
we were
to
fighting.
Me. Is this Grenada?
We went to war with Russia.
For like 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie.
But that's classified.
And they only had two planes. Anyway, or three. So here's Maverick and Goose, You're So Dangerous, part two at the end of the film.
You are still dangerous. You can be my wingman anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Official? You can be mine.
Yeah!
Good one.
Let's play volleyball!
You just said the opposite of what I said. Let's cheer. No, you can be mine. And that's the end of the movie.
Is that how it ends?
Pretty much.
Freeze frame on them and high fives.
And there's flight jackets with 1,100 patches and
motorcycles.
Maverick rides a motorcycle and
through the aviator glasses. Do you know how many pairs of aviator glasses were sold after this movie?
I have been wearing them for 40 years.
Oh,
not
look who wears them.
Now,
I will say, fighter pilot over there.
I will say that Goose had the best aviators because he had the more square ones.
Uh-huh.
Those only a certain kind of man can pull those off, and it was Goose.
You think Danny wears the little jumpsuit every now and then with the aviator glasses on?
That'd be awesome.
So yeah, overall, this movie was exactly what I expected. I was grateful for that it wasn't like 2 hours and 15 minutes. It clocks in right at about 1:44.
Perfect.
So it's not a big commitment. And as if you like to laugh at 80s nostalgia and ridiculousness, it's fine.
What about Kelly McGillis?
She's fine.
And it's got Berlin.
Unbelievable. Her as the instructor at Top Gun school.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really a bad film.
She's not in the second one.
It's really, really a bad film.
By bad, you mean incredible.
Nope.
There you go. A++. just below the three pluses that Point Break got.
I did laugh a lot.
Okay.
A lot of laughing.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
All right. Let's take a closer look at our friends, the Clippers, with Mike Marshall, our friend, the machine, next.